Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church on this Palm Sunday. We have a lot going on this week in the life of our church. We have several birthdays: Debbie Frank, Kim Troutman, Catherine Varner, and Nancy Curry. John and Susan Lohr are also celebrating their wedding anniversary this week. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As you all know, today is Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week, and we are starting off with a drive-through Palm Sunday processional. I know it's not quite the same, but still, we thought it would be fun and meaningful. So if after the service today, you will come on to the church parking lot, in addition to receiving drive-through communion, we will be handing out palms for you to wave, and we've invited you to bring cloaks, new or gently used clothing for our local homeless shelter, to lay down at the feet of Christ that he might use it to bless others. With that in mind, we have a member of our congregation who has knit several little cocoons and hats for some newborns. One is for a newborn that is about to be born at the local family shelter here in town. And the other five are for the upcoming baby shower for the teen moms. And so if you will join me in prayer for these little children. God, we give you thanks that you knit each of us together in our mother's womb and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you that there is not one day of our lives that we are not held in your hands and in your love. We pray your blessing over the children who will be snuggled in these cocoons and hats, that you will bless them and comfort them, that they will know your love, and that they would grow just like Jesus grew, in wisdom and in stature, in favor with you and with all people. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of other announcements about some of the activities here at Holly Grove this week for Holy Week. On Monday, Thursday, we are having a live stream service that will be available on our Facebook page and the YouTube page, starting at 6:30. And then from 7:15, I can't quite remember the time, let me look here. Following, we will have drive-through communion until 7:45. So the service starts at 6:30. After the service, please come through for drive-through communion, because on Monday, Thursday, we remember that that was the Lord's Supper before he died and the very first Holy Communion that was celebrated. Our Good Friday service will be a link for a pre-recorded service that will be available all day Good Friday. We had the opportunity to have Gyla Kepley and Mickey Conrad sing here in the sanctuary and record that so that the music can be a part of our Good Friday service, just as it always is. And then next Sunday, I am so excited to be able to worship with you in person for the first time that I have been here at Holly Grove. And I hope that you are excited to worship in person with one another for the first time in over a year. As we were going over the music this past week, I was brought to tears because I think it's deeply moving that we will be breaking the fast of singing together on Easter morning and singing that Jesus Christ is risen. So we invite you to join us for worship outdoors in the parking lot at 10:30 next Sunday morning. Please bring your chairs if you need help carrying them. We're going to have ushers to help with that, ushers to show you where to park. We do ask that you wear your masks over your noses and mouths because we are going to be singing, and that's very important for that. The men's group will be providing individually wrapped biscuits at 10 o'clock. We ask that you bring your own coffee or juice or whatever drink you'd like, but we hope that you will join us next Sunday morning. If you are not able to join us, we will still live stream on Facebook. I think that is all the announcements that we have for today. We look forward to seeing you after the service today at our drive-through processional. And we now invite you to prepare your hearts for worship as you listen to the prelude offered by our handbell choir. Gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to invite all the children of all ages to prepare for a short message about expectations. So this morning I brought a little friend along with me. Okay? May not necessarily be my friend because I can't play tennis. There's a fence around it, there's a ball, and I'm holding something that's a racket. So I'm trying to smack it out of the ballpark. That doesn't work too well. But if I were to go out for tennis, our coach would have some expectations that I knew really what to do with this ball. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about expectations. A little bit later in our gospel lesson, we're going to learn that Jesus was not what many people expected. And this whole week from today through next Sunday, there are a lot of expectations that people had that didn't happen. So pretty simply, if I were to take this ball and I were to just throw it down on the ground, what do you expect would happen? It's going to bounce. So if I throw it down really hard, it's probably going to bounce higher, right? So let's try this. Okay. Ready? So how did it bounce? Did it bounce?
No.
So what happened?
You just dropped it.
But I caught it before it bounced. I had a chance to bounce. So is that what you expected to happen?
No.
So thankfully for us, Jesus did not do what was expected. Jesus did what we needed him to do over 2,000 years later, but what the entire world needed him to do in its time. So we can be thankful that expectations, our expectations as human beings, don't always come true. So if you would, please pray with me.
Dear God,
thank you for Jesus,
who shows us
how to live away
your way,
in that way that exceeds greatest expectations. Thank you.
Thank you.
And amen.
Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheek to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insulting and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 31. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my spirit is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. The second reading is a reading from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that is in Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard the equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed him to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Palm Sunday. On the one hand, I feel great relief that we've made it to Palm Sunday. It means that we've almost made it through the season of Lent, that it's almost Easter Sunday. But on the other hand, I have some sadness in my heart and already some anxiety forming in the pit of my stomach, because Palm Sunday is the first day of Holy Week, and although we know how it will end, we're still called to journey with Christ to the cross. We're called to witness the indescribable suffering, pain, and horrific death that he endured. And then there's the sadness that I know you all must be feeling, having had to miss two Palm Sundays together in a row with one another in this place. Although we're having a drive-through Palm Sunday processional today after worship, it's just not quite the same. But then again, even if we all were gathered together in the sanctuary, this year it wouldn't really be the same anyway. We would have had to have socially distanced out in front of the church as we gathered our palms and made way to make a processional. We'd have had to have processed in 6 feet apart. We wouldn't be able to be singing indoors our loud hosannas. It's sad that even if we were gathered together, that it wouldn't be the same. Indeed, in this time and space, the virus, the awful virus, has taken so much from us, so it seems a lot of the time. And indeed, even as we are beginning to glimpse the end of all this, we are still finding that there is a lot to grieve. Jesus knows what it is to grieve. In last week's gospel lesson, Jesus told his disciples and the crowd gathered around him that his soul was troubled. And I think if we look closely at today's gospel lesson, even amongst the celebration, Jesus' soul is still troubled. When we typically think of Palm Sunday, we think of the shouts of joy and praise and the throwing down of cloaks and the waving of palms and leafy branches. We imagine it to be the parade to end all parades. And yet I wonder if any of us have ever noticed that through it all, Jesus says not a word. In fact, he hasn't spoken a single word since he told the disciples to go and get the colt. So I wonder if in this year, which has held a lot more silence for us than most years, if we can better tune our ears to hear what Jesus is not saying as he makes his fateful way into Jerusalem. He speaks no words of empty triumph. There are no words of condemnation here. Perhaps we can wonder what it is that he sees and does not say out loud as he observes the exuberance of those shouting and waving and laying down their cloaks for him. Can we imagine how his heart must have been full to breaking, knowing what he did of what it means to be so human and so hopeful, yet seeing beyond that present moment to how the faith of the crowd would dissipate in the face of deadly challenge and the heartbreak that would follow? I wonder if, as he rode along, if his own heart quaked a bit in fear, for himself certainly, but also in great love for all the rest who only knew Palm Sunday and not what was to come, at least not yet. The text doesn't say, but we can't help but listen to the silence and hear the ominous sound of all that is to come. Foreboding, yes, but still hopeful for us because we know the ending. We also know that just as we are the ones in the crowd on Palm Sunday shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest heaven," we also know that we are the ones in the crowd on Good Friday, shouting, "Crucify him! Away with him! Release Barabbas! Crucify him!" Palm Sunday serves as a mirror for us, because sometimes when we hear the narrative of Jesus' passion, we distance ourselves from the crowd and even from Pilate. Part of the power of the story of Palm Sunday is that it allows us to see our own reflections. We are just as present in the angry mob and crowd on Good Friday as we are in the joyful crowd on Palm Sunday. Just as we are there with palms and laying down our cloaks cheering Hosanna, we are also there among the mocking soldiers and even those who nailed Jesus to the cross. We are there, and Palm Sunday reminds us of our duplicitous nature. Sure, we can choose to look away and ignore the hypocrite that we see in the mirror, but it doesn't change the fact that we are both saint and sinner simultaneously. The more we see our reflections in the passion narrative, the more we can see how we crucified Christ then and how we can continue to see that we crucify him afresh today. Think about the times this past week alone when anger or jealousy or selfishness or hate crept into our hearts. Or the times we, like Pilate, chose to please the crowd instead of pleasing God. God's word is like a mirror. It allows us to see ourselves in the hopeful crowd as well as the murderous crowd. And while it may not sound like it, this is good news. When we can see ourselves in the crowd at the Mount of Olives, waving palms and cheering Hosanna and Jesus save us, which is what Hosanna means, we can see how much we need Jesus. Just like when we see ourselves in Judas's betrayal and in the distant disciples and in the soldiers who beat and mocked and crucified Jesus. Even there, especially there, we see how much we need Jesus. As we peek ahead to see the glimmer of hope and glory on Easter morning, our reflection is there too. This week, as we walk the path with Jesus through palms to his passion, it all brings us to a deeper understanding of the resurrection on Easter morning. Jesus, the Hosanna of Palm Sunday, who heard the shouts of his followers, who rode that colt into Jerusalem, did it all in great, great love. And now in great love, our Savior invites us to his table to feast on his body and blood, which are given for us for the forgiveness of sin. As we prepare to come and receive the sacrament, we will proclaim together, just as we do each week in the communion liturgy, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Indeed, all praise and honor and glory be to Christ who saves us, then, now, and forever. Amen.